The message that you are about to hear can be liberating for some people, and for others it might cause distress because it challenges deeply held beliefs. It is not my intention to upset anyone. I simply want to bring the truth of God's Word. Dads are the foundation of families, and dads are the foundation of every nation. Please listen with an open mind and trust that Almighty God will guide you in your understanding. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're still in the series of messages that I've entitled, It Is Written. And saying it is written, or it's written, if you want to do a contraction on it is, and quoting scriptures enables us to resist the devil and to rise above temptation. This is Jesus' example for us to follow when we're tempted. This is what he did to resist temptation. Whenever the devil came to him and tempted him, he said, it is written, and he quoted scripture. Saying it is written conveys the authority of God's word. And triumphing over temptation enables us to be Christ-like. It enables us to be like Christ. The world that we live in offers many different types of temptations today. Every manner of temptation is available. And one of the most destructive of these is to believe that dads are less than what Almighty God ordained them to be. You see, God made dads to be His foundation for families. God made dads to be His foundation for families. And families are God's foundation for nations. And that's the truth of it. I pray Almighty God will open your senses to receive His truth. Open your eyes to see. Open your ears to hear. That you would know that you can receive the truth, resist the devil, and watch him flee from you. The world does everything possible to destroy the foundation of families. It does everything possible to destroy the foundation of families. Oh, it might seem like coincidences are all working together. Everything works together to do this. But the enemy of souls wants you to resist learning the truth. The enemy of souls wants to blind your eyes to the truth. God hates many things, and one of those we looked at last week was divorce. He doesn't stop divorce, but he hates it. But he also hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates a heart that devises wicked plans. He hates feet that are swift in running to evil. He hates a false witness that speaks lies, and he hates the one who sows discord among brethren. And all of us need to learn this, and so do our children. And fathers are given the task of raising their children in the Word of God. God's Word says so. According to Almighty God, fathers are given that task of training their children. God entrusted education to parents, not to strangers. And I think this is how we've lost our nation. I think we've given our children over to godless people. Some are godly, don't get me wrong. But I think we've given our children over to a godless creation, a soulless entity created by the state, and they have turned our children against Almighty God. And this is why we see what we see in this land. Because fathers have been cheated out of their role as the educators. Here in this country, a very long time ago, the care and education of children was shifted from parents. For parents, especially from dads. Dad's forced to go out and work somewhere else. Rather than having the children tag along and work with him, alongside of him, and learn from him, he's out in some job somewhere. We all have to pay the bills, right? If we have a piece of land, we have to pay the taxes, right? And what are those taxes used for? To undermine the family in this land. To take away the power of the dad to teach his children. Instead of having Children raised by their parents who loved Almighty God with all their heart, soul, minds, and strength. Children were turned over to strangers with an agenda. And now we see the long range. Maybe it's a 100-year plan. Maybe it's a 150-year plan. But we're seeing that long range plan coming to fruition right now. We are seeing the fruit. We're bearing the fruit of humanism. We're bearing the fruit of secularism. Dads have been demoted to a support role, whether they're present in the child's life or not. Dad goes off to work. The kids go off to school. The dad's not in the child's life. The dad pays support. He goes off to work, and the kids go off to school, and dad sends a check. And this is exactly how the agenda plays out for so many people in this land today. In fact, this insidious, monstrous agenda has everyone paying for dad's demotion. And how? Through taxation. Through government programs. And I'm not saying we shouldn't help people. Don't get me wrong. But I remember a dear friend of mine, named Chester, one of my spiritual dads. He's going on to be with the Lord. And I remember him telling me about an interaction with a politician one time. He said, the politician came, and he said, look, we've got all kinds of money for poverty. We can help you with this, and we can help you with that. We can help you. All we need to do is identify the poverty. And the people said, we don't have any poverty. And the politician says, make some. That's what they want. Here's the money. And don't look at the strings or the ropes or the chains that come with it. Now, I'm not advocating for stopping helping those in need. Please don't take me wrong. The world's agenda has everyone paying for the destruction of dads through many other institutions, many other systems. You know, the family is the first institution in the world. God created the family. One man, one woman, and however many children they bring into the world. That's the first institution. The world is complicated. This system that God created by dividing the family with every manner of evil possible. It has a complicated web of services that displace the dad and mom from their biblical roles. That's the truth of it. All of the world's ways could be drastically reduced by biblical training of dads. If we could train dads to be the foundation of the family once again, we could eliminate some of these worldly ways. This training would restore dads in their true role as the foundation of the family. And this training would restore righteous families who would restore a moral society. Because our nation is a nation of families. And you look at those corrupt politicians, we pray for them. We pray that God would turn their hearts. But you know those corrupt politicians were raised in families, right? And those families were raised by families. And those families were raised by families. I was looking at my family genealogy the other night. A cousin of mine wrote and said, you remember who this one's name was or who that one was? Great granddad, great grandma. We have 10 great-grandfathers discovered all the way back into the 1500s. So I sent her the whole list. You know, this one begot that one and so on and so forth. And I got to thinking, each one of them were part of a family. And each one of them begot children, and they raised children and so on and so forth. But you know, in the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, they were training their children. They were raising their children. It's not only until the last 150 years or so that we've been putting children into the care of other people. The world's complicated things. The corruption that we see in society, whether it's in public life or private lives, is all rooted in a lack of godly education. That's the truth of it. It's written, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The world today reveals the truth of that little statement because God's people are being destroyed. Let's open our Bibles to the fourth chapter of Proverbs, shall we? Proverbs chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 1. You'll find that in the Pew Bible on, what page is that? Page 430 in the Pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read 27 verses, the entire chapter. I don't want to cheat you out of the context, okay? I want you to hear what God's Word says because it is written for your learning. It's written for your edification. It's written to build you up. It's written to strengthen the foundation of families. It's written to strengthen the nation. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. The writer is a father. He said, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine or good teaching. Do not forsake my law. This is the law of Almighty God he's talking about. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. In other words, he was cared for. He was loved. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't lie, in other words. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. God, have mercy on us. Let us hear your word today. Let's move over to chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Proverbs. And I want to just read a few verses there. We'll begin at verse 16. Just read through verse 23. Hear what's written there. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you are awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then he goes into this whole thing about sexual sin and how it'll keep you from that. I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You know, the entire book of Proverbs reveals two schools of competing thoughts for our children's hearts. These two schools are present in all of our lives, you know. They become obvious to us at a young age. We were born into a world with tension between those two schools. Between the end of these schools, pulling us one way or the other. There's a tension in all of us. Some are born with built-in knowledge of one. Some are born with built-in knowledge of the other. And some are born with built-in knowledge of both. The good news is that the foundation which we're built upon establishes which school wins in the end. Proverbs reveals the school of godly wisdom is the one which guides the student into a path of godly success. Those who follow this school's wisdom are promised much. Godly wisdom brings life. It watches over you. Provides honor to you. It even guides your steps so that you don't make the wrong moves. The entrance to this school is restricted, and few find it. The school leads students onto a narrow and difficult path to life. Proverbs also reveals the school of foolishness. And that guides students into eternal doom. The entrance to this school is wide, and many find it. The school boasts of the world's wisdom in everything. It's the school which brings you into the wide and easy path of worldly success. At least that's what's promoted. It's written that Jesus said, "Enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The two schools. There's an entrance to those schools. There's a path. And there's a way that those schools teach us to live. The foundation that builds each of these schools is found deep in the heart of mankind. We're either built upon truth and righteousness, or we're built upon deceit and destruction, because this foundation is the foundation of our dad. Our dad revealed righteousness to us. We learned righteousness. But if our dad did not teach us that righteousness, and our dad in this society and for many years now could be anybody, not necessarily our biological father. My great-grandfather died at a young age. My grandfather was raised without his dad. He didn't have all of the skills that he needed to be a dad himself. And he raised my dad without those skills. And my dad raised me without those skills. And I had to learn those skills. I had to go out into the world and figure that out. How do you become a dad? How do you serve Almighty God as a dad that he put on this earth to raise children? Don't get me wrong, my dad was a good dad. He went to war twice for this country. He fought alongside of people who died. And I'm sure he heard boys crying out to their mothers with their dying breaths. He told me some of those stories. He raised us to be tough. He didn't want us to be mama's boys. He raised us to stand on our own two feet. He raised us to accept responsibility for our mistakes. I remember one time I called one of my sister's friend's mothers a name, and my dad marched me down to that house and he said, "Now you apologize to that woman." I was 12 years old. I had to accept responsibility for my mistake. He didn't just let me get away with it. I didn't just slide on by. He didn't say, "Yeah, she is," whatever I called her, some name, some childish name. My dad taught me righteousness. He taught me truth. He taught me honor. He taught me duty. When you search the Word of God for His foundations on earth, you find dads. Dads are the foundations that God established on this earth. It's written in Deuteronomy that dads were to teach their children and grandchildren about Almighty God. And I thought about using that passage. But it's a very long passage, and there are lots of references to teaching your children, teaching your grandchildren all day long. In other words, they're going to be with you. You're not going to be off somewhere else. They're going to be with you, and you are going to teach them. We're to teach about God and His wondrous works. It's written repeatedly. He wanted His people to fear Him and to teach their children and grandchildren to fear Him. It's written in Deuteronomy 6:5, Almighty God commands His people to love Him with all their heart, soul, and strength, and then to teach their offspring the same at all times in every aspect of their lives. When you're walking in the day, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, teach your children, teach your grandchildren. That would mean they'd have to spend a lot of time with them, wouldn't it? My grandson, Aiden, he's not with us today. He's with his dad. But he's gotten to where he wants to be with Granddad all the time now. Granddad goes out the door, can I come, Pappy? Can I come? And every chance I get, I take him with me. And while we're out and about, I'm teaching him the principles of God. I'm showing them to him. I'm living them in front of him. And I explain things to him. He's 4 years old. How much will he retain? Who knows? But he wants to be with me. And I'm not going to shirk that. Fortunately for me, when my older children were young, I was able to be there with them. I had been in an accident. I had a lot of injury. And I was able to spend time with my children and teach them. Unfortunately for them and for me, their mother left us. And then she took them and used them in her battle against me. But you know, you also find in God's Word that there are dads as the family foundation. In the examples provided by the men that Almighty God chose to lead His people. Think of Abraham. God said, I want you to leave what you know, and I want you to travel over there. And Abraham had to lead people with him, his family. And he had to teach his family to follow God. Because none of them had followed God. But Abraham was a righteous man. Think of Isaac, his son. Think of Jacob. Fathers, all human like the rest of us. All human who made mistakes. The earliest dads were just as human as each and every one of us, and they made the same kind of mistakes that we've made. But then they sat aside their humanness, and they stepped up to the plate. Some made base hits. Some made line drives. Some had home runs, knocking it right out of the park. Others simply did their part to raise their boys to be dads, to achieve the greatness that God had planned for them. And that too is good news, because each of us can do the same. No matter where we are at this stage in our lives, we can be that foundational piece of the family. We can establish in our families or in other people's families. If we can't be the dad in our family, if for circumstances have taken us out of that role, we can be the dad for somebody else. I mentioned earlier Chester, my friend Chester White. He was a black man, and I saw him every bit as much as my dad, as my own dad. Chester taught me a lot of things. We'd have theological debates, and this was when I was not preaching. He was a deacon in a church. We were doing little odd jobs for people. And I remember one time Chester said, it doesn't matter what anybody says, we're to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourself. He said all of everything else hangs on those two things. Chester taught me what it was like to be a dad. Because he was a dad to me. And this black man, part Native American, and I would help people find building materials. Sometimes damaged building materials. And we'd get a little commission for that. And one time we had a whole truckload of drywall that somebody ran a forklift up going up to pick up some. They dragged that forklift right up the side of that drywall, and every edge of every sheet was damaged. We got the sheets for like $1 a sheet, and we were going to sell them for $2 a sheet. And there were some college guys that came to meet us at the Fagan's Lumber Yard down there in Carnegie, or was it Bridgeville? I don't remember. Anyway, we're standing there, and these guys are looking at that drywall, $2 a sheet, when drywall was $4 a sheet for 12-foot sheets, or whatever it was. They looked at Chester, and they didn't like the color of his skin, and it was clear they didn't like the color of his skin. Well, I don't know about this. It's all damaged. And I could see Chester knew exactly what they were resisting. It wasn't the drywall, it wasn't the damage, it was him. So I put my arm around him and I said, you know, Uncle Chester, I'm sure we can find somebody to take this drywall. He looked up at me with a smile on his face. Those guys looked at me like, Uncle Chester? Yeah, he was my Uncle Chester from then on. But he taught me. He taught me. And there's others. People in this room that I look up to, because they are the same way, because they've shown me things, they've taught me things. They have helped me to be a better dad, because they're foundational in my life. You know, it's written in Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, speaking of God. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Because Almighty God is always righteous. And if we teach our children about God, we teach them about righteousness. We teach them how to be righteous. God's the one who sets the standard for all dads to follow. Do you ever see a father say, come on, boy, let's go. I want to see you steal that car. No, dads don't try to teach their kids how to steal cars. Well, there might be some who do. But the majority of us aren't going to teach our kids to steal anything. We're going to teach them to be righteous. But unfortunately, that moral boundary is being broken every day. And it's getting weaker and weaker, because even in the churches we're told it's okay to sin. Go sin it up. Your daddy will forgive you. I heard a preacher say that with my own two ears. Right in this valley. God's the one to set the standard for dads to follow. Yeah, we fall short, but we got to pick ourselves up. We got to get back in. If I can use the metaphor of a baseball game, we get back into the game. We dust the dust off of us. We wipe ourselves off. We get back in the game, and we get back in there and do what we got to do. Dust the field dirt off of our suit, and we get back in the game stronger for the wear. And we give examples to our children to live as God intends. That's how we are foundational in families. But everything in this world is aimed at undermining us. Is there any dad in here can say that the world hasn't undermined your role as a dad? Because if you can, I want you to tell me. I want you to show me. I want you to prove to me that the world isn't against dads. Because I believe from my own experience that it is. And I've had enough experience in my own life and in the lives of others to see that the world is undermining the foundation of families, and that is the dad. The enemy wants the party crowd to be dad. The enemy wants the drug dealer to be dad. The enemy wants the gangs to be dad that educate our children. The enemy wants anything and everything that's contrary to God's plan to become the teachers of our children. That's what the enemy wants. So the world provides every possible distraction to keep dads away from their children. Keep them from fulfilling their role as the foundation in their children's lives. That's what the world does. What's the church doing to counter that? That's a challenge. And it's an indictment. not just to this place. What is the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world doing to support dads, to strengthen dads as the foundation? I have to say the good news is that it's not too late to fortify that foundation. I remember Chester and I laying some block one time. We were fixing my house, actually. And I got to thinking of that as a picture, an illustration. You know, the cement blocks can be seen as the Word of God. Those building blocks that put up that foundation. His Word provides the mortar. And the Holy Spirit can be that water that turns that mortar into cement, because otherwise it's just powder. And all of that built together forms that foundation. The foundation that makes a man the part of the family that holds it up. And the foundation doesn't get glory. When somebody goes out to buy a house, do they go down to look at the foundation? Oh, look at that foundation. Man, that's a good foundation. No, they're looking at the kitchen. They're looking at the bathrooms. They're looking at the bedrooms. They're not looking at the foundation. How many people come into this building and go downstairs and look at the foundation? This foundation was dug out by hand. They poured concrete into the forms that they built by hand to hold this building up, because the building was set on blocks, like barnstones on top of the ground. And they dug it out, and they put a foundation. How many people get out of the foundation? Oh, man, look at that foundation. Boy, that's really, whoa, that's something. We don't get glory for being dads. Nobody's coming up patting us on the back and saying, good job, Dad. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be the dad. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be the foundation of the family, because those families are the foundation of this country. And every nation has dads that have families that build that nation. And we have a duty and a responsibility to Almighty God to be the best dads that we can possibly be. If we expect honor, we'll get it on a day like this. But do you know more than 90% of the people that are in jails hate their dads? They hate their dads. Mother's Day? Oh, boy. The cards fly off the shelves. But how many of you dads get a Father's Day card? Because our society's taught us not to honor dads. Because our societies dishonor dads. Dads are Almighty God's foundation. It builds a family. Even if your dad was a bad foundation, you can patch the cracks and rebuild what's missing. You have that ability. And it might be difficult. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk. Okay? I'm not one that preaches cotton candy, and you all know that. It could be hard work. Find those cracks. Identify them and patch them up. Get the Word of God in those cracks to fill in the missing parts. In the end, you'll be standing before Almighty God having done everything possible to fix what was broken or maybe that wasn't even developed in you. Let the Word of God be the building blocks. Let His precepts be the mortar. Let the Spirit of God be that water that fortifies the cement and makes it strong. As a dad to your children or other children, you can lead them to build the foundation for even others. And you won't know how far that goes. You'll never know till you get into eternity. That foundation will show the way to the narrow gate that leads to the school of godly wisdom. And yes, the foundation's tough work, and building that foundation and being the foundation is tough work. It's not easy. Nobody says it'll be easy. There's nowhere in the Bible that says it'll be easy. And I know it feels like you have the whole world on your shoulders, because sometimes you do. When you're the foundation, you got weight on you. It's not a job that gets the most attention. Nobody goes there and says, hey, you're doing a great job, Dad. You're the foundation. The same's true with dads. It's the foundation of the family and our society, our nation. Remember, it's written, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 19, it's written, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. See the two schools again? God's school of wisdom and the world's school of wisdom, two completely different schools. The school of foolishness is the wisdom of this world. It's written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The wise, according to this world, God will catch you, even if the world doesn't. In Ephesians chapter 2, we hear, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're the temple of God. Each and every dad is a part of that foundation in their own families and in society. Don't you know I'm preaching? They must not know I'm preaching. It's Martha. She wants to wish me a happy Father's Day. Come on, stop now. Praise the Lord. Forgot to turn it off. We're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And as I wrap this up, I want you to hear what Almighty God has written about the foundation that stands to the end. It's written in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And, that's not the end of it. Listen up, folks. He says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He doesn't say go sin it up. He says depart from iniquity. If you're the foundation in your family, you must lead by example. And you lead with that godly example. You lead your children to follow Christ, not the ways of the world. Pray what's written in Psalm 119:33. Pray this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Pray that for yourself. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, it's written, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. What does that say about the end of the world? It's going to be the end of the world at some point in time. It's going to be better than the beginning. Better because we're going to have a new creation. Better because we're going to have a new body, a resurrected body. Better because now we will have all righteousness all the time. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, it's written, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God. Slaves of God? Didn't anybody tell you when you signed up you were a slave of God? Didn't anybody tell you? Oh, wait a minute, you're a friend, right? What a friend we have in Jesus, right? You're a slave of God? That's what it's written. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Dads, this is the foundation that you're to build upon. The foundation of God's Word. It's your eternal legacy. It will follow you into eternity, past the grave. What you build in this life will be observed through generations of your family should time continue. Until Christ returns. Will you build Christ into the lives of others? I sure hope so. If you haven't before now, it's not too late to start. It is not too late to start building Christ into the lives of others. And if you do, and as you do, you will be honoring your Father in heaven, your eternal Father. And what better way? What better way? To honor your dad on earth than to honor your heavenly Father. Now let's pray. Father, we are your children and we're messed up. We don't always get it right, Lord, but we look to you to help us to straighten out the mess that we've made of this world. Fathers have been usurped. Their authority has been usurped. They've been taken out of your will as the foundation of the family. So help us, Lord, in whatever way we can to rebuild that foundation, to reestablish dads as the foundation of the family. And let us not fear what men can do to us, but let us stand firm, educating our children in your will, in your way. And as we go forward in this life, until you return or you take us home, we will leave a lasting legacy of godliness, righteousness, and morality that'll far exceed anything that's come before us. We pray this in Christ's name. May you be glorified forever and ever. Amen. We have a final song, hymn. Now Thank We All Our God, number 18. If you can stand, please stand as we sing. Number 18. Now Thank We All Our God. Hi, this is Pastor John Pistorius, and I'd like you to visit with us next Sunday. Service starts at 11. For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.